Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
All right. And so we're going to continue a conversation that we were having.
Fantastic transition.
We had a great... Shelf. Shut up. We were having a pretty good conversation, and then I realized this should be on the podcast, so we paused the conversation and started recording. All right. So, Joel, he's always been a little bit of a wet noodle as far as, like, you know, body type.
I don't think wet noodle is a body type. That's like a wet blanket thing.
You've been quite noodly.
Noodly is fine.
Okay, we'll go with noodly.
I don't know where the wet's coming from, and I don't know what it implies. So I'm going to take it as offense.
Classroom ring attire. It's classy, classy, classy. Don't go down that trail, Chris. We were talking about how Joel is losing weight now.
Helpfully.
Helpfully, like through just good eating.
Good eating.
Yes. Through the delicious meals that your lovely wife prepares for you, because I've had her cooking, it's incredible, and I would probably healthily lose weight as well if I was in that position. But I don't, and like Papa John's, so whatever. When this podcast is not advertised by Papa John's, but they should. I give them a lot of money. And you were talking about the weight you had gotten up to.
So a while back, I gained 30 pounds in less than 2 weeks.
Did it just, like, something catch up to you, or?
I went from a walking job to a desk job.
There you go, okay.
I went from a walking job to a desk job right around Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. So, like, that's where it is. Because I was like, you had, like, some weird instances, but it's not like you have, like, an unhealthy lifestyle.
No.
You know what I mean? Not compared to me.
It was a lot of stuff. It was walking down to desk job, right there, and I wasn't expecting it. So it was around the time where, like, my metabolism is getting ready to, like, give up on me.
Because we're not in college anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can't eat 7 potatoes in one sitting.
So.
But. Although, yeah, I'm sure you would still try.
The point is.
But you said you got up to, you said 190?
I was at 190. At
and I had made the comment that that's almost close to not being able to be in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Which is pretty bad. That was a nice little wake-up call.
Yeah, well, some of us still need that wake-up call. Because I absolutely am not in the Cruiserweight. And I am, like, what, 5'10"? And that just doesn't carry well. But that led me into, you know, wanting to go ahead and start the podcast. Did you watch the whole bracketology thing that they had for the Cruiserweight?
I watched the intro video.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all are. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was it was actually kind of nice. Like, it got you a little insight. Not everybody, because I was wondering, like, are they going to go through every, like, you know, every single, like, 32 guys? But they didn't. But
no.
They covered, you know, clearly the ones that WWE wants to focus on. And, I mean, I think it's safe to say that all of the people that were featured in that, you know, in those, you know, background segments are probably going to be the winner.
I mean,
if not the final four.
Like, yeah, the way the bracket works, literally half of them are going to lose in the first round. That's just how, you know, brackets work.
And it's odd slash interesting that they've got Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, like, facing off in the first round.
Well, they need some good first round matches.
That's sure, and first round matches that is going to get interest just off name alone.
Yeah,
and that's really, like, the way that they've set up with NXT and everything. Like, that is kind of the only way for them to go, for fans to get involved with the entire match just based on the two names alone. Now, there's some matches where I know that guy, but I don't really know that guy, that, you know, those kind of situations. But this is probably the only one where I'm like, yeah, I know both these guys, and I'm excited by that.
Well, I think you absolutely need some big headliner style matches.
Oh, sure.
Right away, because otherwise it's like, I have a bad habit of, you know, getting really excited about a new show and losing interest. I'm like 3 episodes behind on the Camp WWE. I'm like, I still haven't finished season 1 of Breaking Ground. I haven't enjoyed these things. It's just like, it's real easy to get behind on it. I haven't even gotten around to seeing, like, AJ's Stone Cold podcast.
Sure.
There's several Table for Threes that I'm missing, like this, I think.
Right. And honestly, like, and I'll go ahead and say this, like, the new season of Renee Young's Unfiltered is actually really interesting.
Yeah. So, if it was like, oh, this is a really exciting thing, mm-hmm. I can't wait till week 3 or 4 when mm-hmm. the guys I really want to see.
Also, I don't think anyone's going to, like, hold your feet to the fire over being behind on Camp WWE. It's okay.
I know, but you know what I mean. Like,
I'm not going to sit here and judge you for that, because I haven't watched past episode 3.
My point is, it's really easy to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And something like Raw has been ingrained that is a Monday thing.
Sure.
You know? And if I don't watch it, it feels like, oh, my week's a little off.
Because
mm-hmm. I haven't done this.
Gone through your ritual.
Well, that's the thing. It's in no way like Raw's the best thing, or Raw's sure. the staple, or like I can always count on Raw, because none of those things are true. The fact is just that's how my Mondays go.
Mm-hmm.
So and like I always kind of wove in and out of SmackDown. I weave in and out of NXT a lot more than I'd like to. You know, I'd like to watch NXT
right.
on a weekly basis.
Right.
But then it's like, I have a busy week, and it's like, okay, do I catch up, or do I just like miss that episode and watch the most recent episode so I can keep up with what's going on?
Right.
So I all this to say, I like that they're starting with some big things that they
can. Sure, absolutely. I will say, go ahead and say missing NXT next week is inexcusable. Because, well, A, it's, you know, leading into Cruiserweight Classic, and you've got no excuse there. And B, it's Nakamura versus Finn Balor next week. And what is assumed by a lot of people is going to be Finn Balor's last NXT show.
Right.
Again, assumed. They just haven't, like, you know, did any tapings for the next few episodes, so
well,
this could all be completely wrong, but
we're also getting dangerously close to brand extension.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I like that they've been really pushing the brand extension, not the brand split.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a rebranding of just the idea.
Yeah, no, you know? It is the same thing, but like,
and it's probably, I don't know, it's a less harsh term. That's probably what they're aiming. That's probably why they're going with it, because it's probably going to be the exact same thing, almost the exact same thing as what we saw at the previous brand split,
mm-hmm.
you know, exclusive rosters, exclusive writers, you know, crew, whatever.
Yeah.
So, that'll be interesting to see. Is there any other WWE stuff that we need to cover? Because there's some, like last week, there's some non-WWE stuff that we need to touch on.
We should mention that Brock Lesnar's SummerSlam opponent has been announced.
Yep.
It's gonna be Randy Orton.
I'm assuming, because it sounds like...
It feels like a resounding, okay.
But, if it happens, I mean, there's going to be a pretty good amount of excitement because Randy's coming back. Brock's going to be fresh off of his fight and everything. And if both are on top of their game, it could be a pretty interesting match. We would get that F9 into an RKO thing that I'm pretty sure a lot of people have been wanting to see.
Yeah, I'm not doubting the quality of the match.
Right.
It's just...
As far as interest beyond that, yeah.
Right, there's... I feel like at a certain point, the storytelling is required.
Sure.
In the WWE, and in wrestling in general. Mm-hmm. It can't just be like, I want to see that guy fight that guy. That's a UFC thing. Like, totally in UFC, it's like, I want to see that guy fight that guy.
Right.
Not because they hate each other, not because,
sure.
you know, mutual respect.
It's probably something that I'm going to be in future, whenever he gets called up, it's probably going to be called the Nakamura effect. Like, people that don't necessarily have a grudge or any sort of storyline or anything with him at all, but I was just like, I would love to see what a match between those two would look like.
Right.
You know, him and whoever. But also, it kind of feels like it's a big-ish match between, you know, major names, but it's not big enough to where if, God forbid, something happens to Brock where he can't be at SummerSlam,
mm-hmm.
it's not that big of a loss. Like, it's still a loss because, you know, Brock is a huge draw.
Right.
But I don't think anyone's going to be crying if we miss out on a Brock and Randy Orton match.
No. the thing is, John Cena versus The Rock still needed some storyline.
Sure.
Still needed that they hated each other. So...
Well, I mean, if they hadn't... They needed a storyline to carry them through a year.
They did.
So by the time they actually got to WrestleMania season, that's when they really need to dig in as far as storyline goes. But had they just, like, announced at the beginning of WrestleMania season,
mm-hmm.
we probably could have ridden on, you know, just the excitement of seeing these two face off. You know, yeah. we wouldn't have WWE, you know, tries to incorporate story with just about everything, whether it be good or bad, totally different argument. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think it was absolutely necessary the first time around. Second time around, you kind of needed some storyline there to explain exactly why this twice in lifetime thing's happening.
We won't go into the second
time. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead of yours.
Do you think Brock's victory or defeat in UFC will have an effect on if he wins or loses against Randy Orton?
Not really. Because, again, like, Randy Orton is a guy that he, you know, we've seen in the past he can take a few losses and not really, like, really go up or down. Which sounds like a horrible thing to say, but...
No, I know where you're coming from. He's pretty, like, he's still pretty safely sitting in that number two slot.
Sure. And, again, like, he's not necessarily essential anymore as far as the success or failure of their weekly show.
Right.
Because they've been without him for so long, and he's just, you know, at this point, he's just an added bonus.
Right.
If they've got him, great. If not, we're still going to keep trucking. And that's pretty much, you know, true with everybody.
Uh-huh.
But it definitely seems like they're not as dependent on him as they would have been a couple years ago.
Okay.
So in that aspect, I don't really think...
So you're saying Brock's going to win either way? I'm not trying to trap you. Like,
I'll
go ahead and say it.
I could. Depends on how petty WWE wants to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly, the old man is still, you know, pushing the button that, you know, determines everything. So I don't know.
I feel like if he wins in UFC, then he comes back as like. He gets his, like, he conquered UFC. He proved he could conquer UFC again. WWE's where the real challenge is at.
Sure.
Some storyline sure, along yeah, those yeah. lines. If he loses, don't you need to immediately, like, give him that win to rebuild his credibility?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at that point, he probably needs it more than he would if he had won a UFC. Mm-hmm. Although it would be kind of hard to... I don't know, explain why he would win at UFC and lose in WWE kind of thing. Again, yeah. It's all depending on pettiness and how long they actually want to keep Brock Lesnar.
I mean, you know, like, Randy Orton beats Brock, Brock beats UFC fighter, therefore, Randy Orton could kick it in UFC if he wanted to, but WWE's where the real challenge is at.
Sure.
That's where the big boys play.
No, that's a different company. I don't know. It's hard. It's kind of hard to see. Because, like, we're in uncharted territory, you know? And it'll be interesting if, like, because it all depends on if this UFC, it really is a one-time thing, if it's just a blip on the radar, or if Brock Lesnar's going to get this one fight and get that bug again and decide that this is his thing now.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, WWE is a stickler as far as, you know, holding to your contract and everything, which is why Ryback is, you know, enjoying these shows from the comfort of his own home, like, for the past month.
I think more than that.
Maybe.
At this point.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, in relating to that news, Brock Lesnar's fight is this Saturday.
It is.
And it's now the main event.
Yes, it is.
Because, John Jones is pulling a Roman Reigns.
Yep. John Whoopsie Daisy Jones.
God, like, this UFC 200, like, I know that
it is the WrestleMania 32 of UFC pay-per-view events.
It might even be, like, one step beyond that.
It's got that same feel, like, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. that card looks
Yeah.
Sure, sure,
like,
sure.
They're talking about like a
but,
Ronda Rousey match plus a Conor McGregor match plus a Jon Jones match.
Sure.
Like,
and then, you know, Ronda, she not only, well, losing is kind of irrelevant because
Ronda loses and then disappears, basically.
Right. You know, recovering from injuries or mental injuries, whatever the case may be, which is understandable.
I'm not poo-pooing the disappearance, but
sure.
Like, yeah.
And honestly, I know that you like her, but honestly, nowhere near the following.
Oh, no.
You know,
no.
The current champion, Miesha Tate, does not. And also, it probably didn't help that Holly Holm, like, immediately lost the championship
Miesha Tate. And Miesha Tate's, I think, lost to Ronda twice, so, like.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. She's one of my
favorites.
Sure.
And, like, up until she lost, she was the one that only. She was the only other person to take Ronda, you know, beyond the first round.
Right. But, like, yeah, what am I supposed to be like? She's basically Ronda.
No. So you've got that. And see, like, this is why I think this might be a little bit worse than WrestleMania 32, is when all those injuries started happening, it's not like they had already announced what the card was going to be, you know? Once the card was set,
yeah,
they were pretty much in the clear, like, as far as injuries, because they didn't really have any injuries beyond that. But then again, UFC, like, they announced at least their main card way ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had the whole Conor McGregor thing.
You can't, like, if you go to any, just go on Wikipedia, go to any UFC numbered event.
Sure.
And click on the background and be like, the main event was da-da-da-da-da. That was going to be at,
sure,
you know, pay-per-view three numbers earlier. But something pulled out and eventually happened. Like,
and also, like, you know,
main events change all the time.
Also,
you look that far in advance.
No, it wasn't that. And, like, maybe a few months ago, where, like, UFC had to completely skip one of their numbers, one of their numbered pay per views, just because they were having such a rough time. Like, either injuries were happening, or fighters got tested positive for something, and they just could not get a main event for it, so they just skipped it.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in the 190s.
It aired
so it wasn't
for
that
free. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Did it? I thought they just, like, completely just didn't have an event.
No, they were like, it's not a pay-per-view event.
Okay.
It aired on, like, Fox Sports or something.
Fair enough.
So.
So you had the whole Conor McGregor thing, so there goes your main event.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, with a very thinly veiled collusion, basically moved Jones and Cormier to 200. Which, you know, me and Joel were watching Jon Jones' first fight back. And I even told Joel, I was like, they're going to... Because the whole, like, Cormier, you know, stepping out for injury at the last minute thing felt fishy. Especially when Cormier was, like, calling the match with Joe Rogan and what's-his-name.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember his name for the life of me. The other guy. And so I'm like, that doesn't usually happen. Any sort of fighter, like, usually doesn't call a match at a pay-per-view.
Not
let alone the guy who was supposed to have been in the match.
Yeah.
You know? So that felt a little fishy. And so you got that. They add some fuel to the pay-per-view with the Brock Lesnar thing. Which you also had the reporter scandal with Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that clouding around 200. Because it was over the Brock Lesnar announcement. And now you have Jon Jones, who, I don't know if, is the fight totally scrapped? Like, is Cormier just not going to fight anybody?
No, Cormier's fighting, they've said Cormier will fight somebody else. As
the only person
of this
I've
recording,
yeah.
The rumor is Silva.
Okay.
by the time.
Sorry, that was, I
heard. Obviously, by the time you hear this, that will have either been confirmed
or denied. Oh, sure, yeah.
This is that's what it was.
I know this is. I know we're spending a lot of time on UFC stuff right now, but Brock Lesnar's on it, so it's somewhat related. So, this is the only place where me and Joel could really talk about this stuff.
Stick with us.
We'll get back
because we have a doozy of wrestling to talk about in a minute, and you probably know what it is, and we're going to talk about
it. Yes, because I saw Michael Bespin say, like, "I'll fight him," and I'm like, you just fought at 199, like, you can't be 100%, and you pulled off, like, a miracle win,
mm-hmm.
you know, for...
No, there have been a lot of people that are like, I'll fight.
Sure, but he was, like, the one where, like, everyone, like, picked up for storylines, and of course, because, you know, the big win that he got at 199, like, it was, like, a movie-type win.
Right.
And he would, like, you know, be, I think he would be going up a weight class.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, eh.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, you're going up on a weight class on a dime, and you just fought, like, a month ago. Eh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
The only option, other option that I came up with, and this might be a little, you know, biased because he's my favorite, but I was like, maybe Rumble Johnson could come in and get a rematch with Cormier, because he was the one Cormier fought to get the light heavyweight championship originally.
After
Jones got stripped of it.
Yeah.
That would be kind of interesting, because honestly, I felt like that wasn't, you know... Now, I don't think Rumble, like...
My understanding is they awarded Jones the interim champion at his last fight.
I don't remember. You could be right.
And I don't think he has been stripped of it.
Sure.
So...
No, it's definitely not a situation like the hit and run thing where they, like, stripped him of the title and kicked him out for X number of months. So I believe Cormier is still light heavyweight champion. I believe Jones is still interim. But, you know, they seem pretty intent on having Cormier still fight. Or I assume so. I did look at Rumble Johnson's fighting in, like, 202, so I don't know if he's quite ready to go.
Yeah,
you know, because I don't know if he's even started camp for that.
Well, the thing, so, like, he might just not be at weight yet.
Sure, absolutely. It's one of those things, like, they just...
It also goes down to if it's going to be a title match or not. Whoever faces him, are they going to face him for the title?
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't want to sound, like, crass about this or not, but they don't necessarily need that match.
Yeah.
You know? Lesnar's kind of a circus act. And I believe, and I saw a thing today, like, I believe Lesnar still holds, like, their buy rate record.
Oh,
still.
Yeah, absolutely. And I...
So I feel like the curiosity of it all is going to bring in a lot of people on its own.
I think you can, like, you can go to any general, like, sports bar area or whatever you want to call it.
And it's going to be packed.
And it's going to be packed for Lesnar.
Yes.
Like, I have heard several people, you know, it's like, hey... UFC on Saturday, Lesnar fight. Like, that's...
Sure, no, absolutely.
Not UFC 200, not, you know, Cormier Jones.
I mean...
It's all, hey, Lesnar fight.
I mean, we'll go ahead and say it now. Like, we're getting together on Saturday night, knowing that everywhere is going to be packed, and we're all coming over to my place, and I'm going to buy my first UFC pay-per-view, you know? Like, granted, we're all going to chip in, because I am not paying all that by myself. Thank you very much. But
Lesnar,
you know,
fight.
But it's, A, because it's the Lesnar fight... And it, honestly, if it was Jones and Cormier, I would probably just watch the stream somewhere. But since it's Lesnar, I'm like, streams are going to be kind of crowded as well. So they're not going to be great. And, you know, we do have, like, a number of friends that normally wouldn't watch UFC, but they would normally watch WWE. So that curiosity played in. So they're coming over. You know, usually UFC is a strictly Joel and Chris thing because no one else in our group of friends, cares one way or the other.
But Lesnar fight.
So now it's looking like we're going to have a pretty decent amount of people at my place on Saturday.
Yeah. All right, we've put it off long enough.
Okay.
So
what culture pro wrestling, guys? Just kidding. I did watch a little bit of episode 2. It's not bad.
It's not bad. They're working on it.
No, they are making improvements, like, yes.
And to be able to see literally, like, improvements on week 2.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, good job, guys.
Especially since episode 2 is from the same taping session.
Yeah.
But still seeing improvement, that's kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I was willing to give them, you know, like...
Wait until their next batch.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
But all right.
Because I think they're recording later. They're recording it later on this month.
Okay. But we're going to talk about TNA.
Oh, my God.
Because it's been so long since we've talked about TNA here.
Oh, my God.
And
it's not, for good reasons. I'm sorry. Like,
for those who don't know, I guess. Like,
okay.
Well, I'm trying to, like, how...
It's the one viral thing TNA's ever had.
Where do you, like, if you had to describe this to somebody who didn't know it all, like, where do you start?
All right.
So,
let's see. Crystal meth is a hell of a drug.
So, Matt, okay, the Hardys are feuding.
It's cheaply made in the backwoods of North Carolina.
The Hardys are feuding. And so,
They've done a little bit of feuding in the ring, but like the high points of this feud
have been in WWE.
Have shut up.
No, I'm not. Like, they had a WrestleMania match against each other.
Yeah, they did. But that's not this feud.
I get that. But like, you know, it's not. It's different from that. Like, you know.
No, this I say this is a unique feud.
If somebody had just watched WWE, they're like, oh well, we've seen that before. No, I'm saying the high points of this feud that are
existing right now have not been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They've been done through like pre-taped little short movies, basically,
and that they produce themselves.
Yes,
and I'm all about like creative freedom. You know, and we criticize WWE especially a lot for not giving enough creative freedom to their performers and their wrestlers and everything. TNA maybe gave them a little too much.
So this week they had a short film, basically.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They had a short film.
It felt more Lucha Underground.
Called The Last Deletion.
Yes.
Which is basically the end of the...
We assume so.
At this point.
That we know of, yes.
Yes, this is the final showdown between Matt and Jeff. Mm-hmm. So, basically, to describe it, it is a short film, probably 17, 20 minutes long,
that
depicts the final chapter of this story.
I think it would be fair to call it a, like, experimental short film.
Yeah, you can probably work with that.
Yeah, okay.
So...
Just to add in a new layer of crap.
So Chris,
yes,
and Blair, in general, like we have this thread where we talk with
guys. Yeah, yeah.
It was discussed in that thread.
And what's funny is each one of us kind of gave our live reactions as we, because we all watch it at different times.
Yes.
I didn't really say as much because I knew Joel hadn't watched it, so I didn't want to like give anything away. Not that that was much to give away, but yeah, we kind of got everyone's like reaction to it, and for the majority of it, a lot of our reactions were, "What did I watch?"
So,
in so many terms,
these guys were really hard on this video. You were.
Sure, but you weren't exactly, like, pillowy with it either.
I am going to try to, right now...
I will pull all these messages and read them verbatim.
I am not saying, like... Okay, there's a lot on the internet that is like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
This is like, this
and that, like, alarming amount, actually.
And some of that is clearly... in jest.
Sure.
Because this is unquestionably...
Like, kind of, like, watching a movie that's stupid but funny, and they're like, "Oh, this is the greatest thing ever!" Like that kind of inflection.
This is unquestionably off the wall, crazy pants, crazy.
Yes,
like it just is.
Yes.
But so I watched it again.
Okay. I've only watched it once, but I've watched a lot of reaction videos, so I feel like I've watched it more than once.
So, I am going to try to talk about this positively, because I think there is a lot of positive stuff to be gleaned from
this. Sure, and the majority, for me, it basically comes from, you know, good for them for giving their performers
that's one thing.
Creative
the
freedom.
The first thing is,
whether or not,
try everything once.
Sure, sure, because WWE sure has.
Throw at the wall, see what sticks.
Sure.
And that's what they're doing. To be fair, WWE opened up this week with a food fight, so like...
Yeah.
That's the pinnacle of wrestling.
Sure, like, no. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not coming from a holier-than-thou WWE fan kind of situation. It was just like, okay.
Okay, so, there is...
I also, I'm just like, not to even, like, give it, like, the whole, like, that was weird and crazy and I don't like it, like, that kind of thing. Like, I watched Swiss Army Man this weekend and I loved it. So, clearly, I, too, like some stuff that's out there that not a lot of people are going to like. And so, vice versa. So, just because this is my cup of tea, eh.
Here's the thing, is like, this was not my cup of tea.
Sure.
But I don't think it was bad. I think it was... So, there's clearly, like, this is clearly a passion project. There's
sure.
some passion being rammed down our throats in this video.
Okay.
And I genuinely believe that there is some level of, like, storytelling and symbolism being infused in
there.
I don't know how much. And so a lot of this is like, oh, I could be inferring this, or it could actually be in there. I know there's some in there, and I don't know how much of it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some stuff like, he keeps, his brother Nero yes. fiddled, he's got a thing, while Rome burns, like, it's, you know, oh, in that right. classic story, there's fire in the, you know, in the match, because they have fireworks. Not to mention, they also, there's fireworks, there's Jeff Hardy flying through the air, they go down to a lake and fight in the water, and then they fight in a dirt pit, so they fight in all four elements.
Okay.
Intentional? I don't know.
Probably.
But they did it.
Probably not.
There's a lot of stuff like, the little drone. Matt Hardy is a drone in this. Like, I love the half description. Like, we haven't really gone, if you haven't seen this.
Yeah.
He's a drone. Matt Hardy
is
a drone.
Oh, okay, okay. I'll go and say this. The weakest point of this segment, this video, is the wrestling, to be honest with you.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's really...
The rest of it, honestly, it feels like a low-budget short film that clearly, like, a lot of thought went into.
Yeah.
And a lot of preparation went into. Execution probably wasn't there just from the sheer lack of experience, maybe. I don't know. Or it was a passion project, and there was no one else to be, like, to offer in any other opinions on, like, maybe try something other than this, maybe not do this. Like, it's the Charlie Kaufman effect, really. The guy is an amazing writer, kind of out there sometimes, but when you let him direct his own stuff, you get Snetky New York, and nobody likes that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well...
There's no one there to, like, hone in the crazy. Because there is some creative things that are interesting that could be honed into something that is digestible to the casual viewer, I guess.
So, yeah, I think the wrestling is the weakest part.
Yes.
It's like a poorly edited highlight reel of a match that could have been good.
It's like someone was hired to Lucha Underground, and this was the first thing he ever edited.
So there's a spot in the match where Jeff Hardy climbs up a tree and tries to jump on Matt. Matt's on a ladder. Matt rolls out of the way.
Sure.
Jeff Hardy hits the ladder. If that had been in a standard wrestling match, it would have been a very impressive. I mean, it wouldn't have been in like an end all be all spot, but it would have been like, you know, a really good Jeff Hardy spot.
Because the mat, like the ring, is kind of our scale. Like, okay, we know how far up
yeah,
this
can tell
blah, blah, blah.
High is. Like he
but
hits
when you,
the
yeah.
ladder. But because it was done in video format and in weird editing video format,
yes,
there was a lot of like, okay, so where did they like take out the real ladder to put in the foam ladder? And you
sure,
know,
or whatever.
You
yeah,
know, where did they say cut so Matt could?
There see were there was some like, all, like there were some weird cuts as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the wrestling is the weakest part. But here's what, honestly, this did right. Wrestling, like every industry in the world, can't figure out the internet.
No.
Like, they just don't get the internet. They know it's important. And they can't figure out how to use the internet to its
sure.
fullest potential to further feuds and further storytelling
sure.
in wrestling. And basically, it's, hey, they'll fight in the ring because somebody said something mean about somebody else on Twitter instead of a backstage segment.
Sure.
See, we're using the internet now.
Right.
This is the first thing where I'm like, okay, use, like, this is a genuine, like, here's this full feature internet video.
Yeah.
Weird.
Right.
But... I do think, and I don't want to stand here, I don't want to throw my hat in, like, this will change wrestling. But I think that it could. I think that it could be, like, the first step. And I want you to, like, try to imagine the first time wrestling fans saw a backstage segment.
Mm-hmm.
And how weird that had to be. Like, wrestling happens in the ring.
Sure.
Promos are cut in the ring. Wrestling is fought in the ring.
Right.
They come out, they fight here, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time, randomly, the cameras follow them back there. and they do important stuff back there, and there's people attacking each other back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like their reaction to that might have been along the lines of our reaction to Last Deletion.
To this, yeah.
Where it's like, why is this happening?
Sure.
So, you've been forced, due to your schooling, to see Birth of a Nation several times.
Oh, God, more times
than necessary.
Yeah.
I
mean, once is too much, but yeah.
If you get a chance to watch Birth of a Nation, don't bother.
No.
But it is a important film because it was the first.
Sure.
It did a lot of stuff for the first time. You watch it today, it's pretty much unwatchable.
It's like...
Because they hadn't figured out how to make a movie yet.
It's like... let's say Neil Armstrong was a horrible racist. Went to the moon, first man to walk on the moon, plants a flag, and everyone like, hooray, he's the first one that did it. Did we talk about the racism? It's pretty obvious. Like, maybe, like, the first words weren't, like, you know, one step for man, one giant leap for white man, or something like that. Something horrible. Or something probably way more horrible than that. It's one of those things where it's like, yes, we give you the acknowledgement because you're first, but we're not... It's not something we would like to talk about. That
Birth of a Nation is a super racist movie. Yes. Even if it wasn't, it would not be watchable because, like, they didn't know how to light a movie yet.
Sure, yeah,
they didn't know how good editing worked.
Sure.
They were figuring it out. We're watching them figure it out in this movie.
Right.
And I feel that same way about the storytelling of Last Deletion.
Super racist. No, yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like... And I do think that this could lead down really dangerous paths. Because the interesting part is not the wrestling. The wrestling is the worst part. So how far are we removed from TNA going, we're going to do a pay-per-view with no wrestling, all promos?
So what was that? Like Battleground 2014? Or something like that?
I don't know, but it was a Vince Russo idea. Like people were talking about. Vince Russo genuinely pitched a pay-per-view of no wrestling.
Of just storyline?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, that's things like that. There are dangerous bad things.
Clearly,
bad lessons
no,
to
yeah,
gain
yeah.
from this.
Yeah, no, clearly, like, the one obvious thing that comes out of this is TNA is reaching for anything, you know? I'm not saying that, like, this is a, like, desperate, horrible move on their part, but they're like, all right, you guys have wanted to do this. Maybe this is a project they've been trying to like pitch around for a while. They're like, we're not really feeling this, or the network didn't like it, or whatever. And they're just reaching for anything right now because we heard so much about how like they were very close to shutting down after Slammiversary this year.
Right.
So maybe it's just something that they're like, you know what? Fine, let's try it, see what happens. And, you know, I think ratings spiked pretty good for them.
They did.
For this episode.
Thing is, like, if nothing else, this is working.
Oh, sure. Like, when has anyone talked about TNA this much? Over, like, the past couple weeks? Since the initial, like, you know, Brother Nero video that they did. Like, the weird short film that came before this weird short film. So... I don't know. This is, I kind of lost my train of thought.
I am, sorry, I'm genuinely interested to see what they do next with this.
Sure.
And that's the thing is, like, I tuned into TNA and was like, oh, I'm still not interested in anything else that's happening.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I'm just not. But I do want to know, like, all right, because, like, and I don't know if I've missed some of this storyline. It's totally possible I have. But, like, there's some stuff with Willow going on in there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is there, like... Is there some sort of official alter ego connection? Is there mythology that you've actually worked
out?
Sure,
yeah.
That's going to
no,
be
Willow,
real to me.
Yeah, as far as I can understand, Willow is, like, a thing from, like, the last couple years that, you know, is Jeff's alter ego. Matt's now, like, has been posing as Willow and using other people to pose as Willow, like, to kind of mess with his head.
Okay,
blah, blah, blah.
I'm saying, like, as far as I can tell, it's like, sometimes Jeff Sardi is Willow, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, Willow so is like, is Willow like his Incredible Hulk?
Sure. Okay.
He has to like Willow up to
honestly pick
somebody.
You're probably overthinking it.
But here's the thing, I don't think I am anymore. I think they've clearly put a certain amount of thought into this.
Willow as a character has the emotional depth of Jeff Hardy's music album. Let's put it that way. Remember his horrible CD that he put out with a couple years ago.
I get that. The depth of Willow can only go as far as the depth of Jeff Hardy, the creator and portrayer of Willow.
Yes.
But at one point, like, he's like, I'm going to be Willow now. And you're like, all right, that's so you can sell a new t-shirt.
And
you know,
some masks. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
But, like, I think he's got, like, some Willow backstory about, like, the time he found a gym in a cave or something.
In his head, sure, yeah.
Yeah, in his head.
Yeah.
Clearly. But, like, okay, sure, try that storyline. And the fact that, like, Matt has taken over all of Jeff Hardy's social media accounts
at
this point.
I mean, yeah, because for a while...
This is a storyline that I feel like I'm following online.
Right.
Because
they've kind of, like, lived the gimmick since it kind of began.
Yeah. You know,
especially with Matt. It'll be interesting to see. And, like, that's kind of, like, the gift and curse of pro wrestling is that, especially when you're on a weekly show, like, you gotta keep going. Like, I don't know if they've... You know, clearly we don't know if they've got an end game on this or not. But it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here.
Or that was the end game. Like, it felt endgame-y. Like, it felt like this is the culmination of this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the thing with pro wrestling, it never ends. So, like, when something's successful, it's like, all right, let's run this into the ground.
Or, you know, if this is over, what does Matt do now? Because, spoiler, he won. So, it's one of the things where, like, okay, well, the initial idea that they had is finished. Now we have this character with Matt's new direction or whatever. What do we do with it now? Or is he done as well? Like, that kind of thing. Like, and usually that's when it kind of falls off the rails, especially from a WWE standpoint. We're like, we've got this new crazy R-Truth. He really wants this championship, and he's going to be really great for this championship, and he's going to be good for a while. But after a while, we're just going to, like, not know what to do with this new thing anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or and again, well, R-Truth might have been a bad example because he got suspended, came back as a face, you know?
Yeah.
And it just didn't have the same dynamic. So it's interesting. Like, if they're able to continue this momentum, whether it be, you know, out of positivity or out of a positive reaction to what they've done, or even if it's just, you know, by sheer, like, freak show factor where people are just curious to see what in the world they're going to do next, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see if they can maintain this momentum.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I'm entertained by how TNA has held on for these many years when we thought they were surely going to just die out.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago.
I've come around and, like, TNA's this weird, scrappy underdog again.
Sure.
Like, all right, let's see what you got.
Sure.
TNA used to be, like, the jerks that wouldn't let Sting come to WWE.
Right.
So I used to be like, no, just fold so I can get him while he still has four matches left in him.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I it's when, you know, the whole their live event thing kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't want to be the one to be like, ah, look at TNA messing things up all over, when it wasn't even their fault. Like, that was
right. That's
all Pop TV. Like, that was their channel. And I don't know. Like, I don't like, you know, just unjustifiably, like, just, you know, poking fun at them just because it's TNA. But they have some pretty bad matches sometimes. And this is like, it's taped. They could have cut cut certain things out. They could have cut the match out completely.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And that makes me just wonder why.
Which means that's the best match they had, and they got
Sure. But they could now fill it up with weird experimental short films, apparently.
They can.
They can. And honestly, like, this might be their new niche. like I've said a couple times, like, I kind of feel like this is, whether intentional or not, is kind of them taking a page out of Lucha Underground's book.
I do definitely think there was some Lucha influence there.
Because, like, the way that a lot of it was shot,
mm-hmm.
and just the way it was cut together, it really reminded me a lot of not necessarily the best Lucha Underground segment, you know? But it had that feel to it.
Right. So, I would like to make a plea to TNA directly here. The lesson to take from this, the reason that this is working, is because you gave two guys some money and a camera, and let
and
them
some
film.
Drones, a lot of drone footage.
Yeah.
Not the drones that were on camera, but I mean like the drone footage. Because, man, if we did not get some scenes or, yeah, some shots of Jeff Hardy riding a dirt bike, what would we do? And that lawn, that preciously manicured lawn. Oh, my God.
My point is...
Okay.
You gave two guys this money,
mm-hmm.
and then let them loose to bring you back their passion.
Right.
They brought back their passion project. So, don't go and take two other wrestlers and, like... You got to make an avant-garde film about your
sure,
feud.
Sure, no, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what worked. That's not what worked last time.
No,
you let two guys...
because then you're pushing things onto guys where that might
exactly.
not necessarily work with them.
I do not think this will work with any other two wrestlers in the world.
Not something specifically. Like they might have a similar idea or their idea for their own video promos. But not necessarily, like, exactly that. But, again, like, it could be an avenue. Or just, like, have somebody write something for these other guys that are, you know, out-of-studio promos. You know what I'm talking about? And I, you know, clearly it's not a coincidence that, you know, all of Bray Wyatt's stuff in this past week was, you know, on location in whatever barn or whatever.
Because
there have been a lot of reports that, oh, like during the Japan tour last week, a lot of WWE guys watched it, and there was, you know, they were fascinated with it as a lot of our people are.
Mm-hmm. Not for nothing, but I did really like that we saw the weapons being put under the ring.
Yeah,
that was a nice touch. And also, all of wrestling has this kind of recurring issue that we all just ignore, that these two guys hate each other and they're not going to deal with it till next Monday.
How?
These two guys want to kill each other and they're going to do it right here in this building. Like,
sure.
That they're both in. So, this fact that, like, oh, this storyline can happen, you know, at somebody's house or on the street or wherever
sure.
the drone can find them.
Over under on. I'd say maybe like 2 months before Senior Benjamin is like the GM of Impact. I'd say under. but no, I will say this. As far as like the pre-tape stuff goes, I would mostly suggest that the matches be left like in like an actual like arena.
You know what I mean? I will agree.
And if they are going to film a match on location like they did with this, do it all in one cut,
mm-hmm.
you know, warts and all. Like, not saying, like, it has to be one camera the whole time, but no, like, jump cuts.
No,
to
the jarring cuts took me out of the match completely,
like,
and totally.
Yeah, like, don't like, cut to, like, oh, suddenly they're on the turnbuckle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're going to cut to a different camera, like, you know, keep it in as much real time as you possibly can.
Yeah.
No,
I agree, and I think that's part of the learning curve, I think.
Sure, sure, know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty unquestionably like, oh, that's the part where I felt taken out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then once they got out of the ring, and they did the firework thing, and they did the, we're gonna fight in the water.
A dilapidated boat.
But that's the part where I was like, got back into it. I was like, alright, now what happens next? Because I knew what was going to happen in the ring. They were going to
sure.
punch each other and fall down and pick each other and drop each other, and I'd seen all that.
Right.
In real time, you know, I've seen all that live, in person, in front of my eyeballs.
Sure.
So, whatever on that.
Yeah.
But, like, once they were start doing new and weird stuff,
mm-hmm.
all right, I'm back to seeing what's going to happen.
Right. And I don't think that maybe this should eventually, as long as they're good ideas, stuff like this could eventually replace backstage segments. especially in WWE's case, because they could they pre-tape most of them anyway, and so the fans are just looking at a screen, you know. I don't, you know, clearly don't take up a lot of your show with it, because again, like, especially for the live audience, that's gotta suck.
Yeah,
just like you paid X amount of money to sit there, and again, like, well, it's a 3-hour show, so in the grand scheme of things, you know, who cares? But it's still a long time for your live audience to be like looking up at a screen when they paid there to watch your wrestlers in person.
Again, I don't want any of this to be taken as a ringing endorsement for the final deletion.
No.
It is, at best, I can say it might be your cup of tea.
Right.
Like, it's definitely got that, like, weird experimental vibe, like, going for the niche audience of nine people.
Sure, yeah, yeah,
those nine people are going to love the crap out of it.
But that tenth person is going to be like, no.
Yeah.
Because they're especially, because certainly, like, they wrote this, the non-match stuff, to be, you know, funny.
Mm-hmm.
But there's points where, like, I can't tell if they meant for some of this to be funny or not, because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, beginning to end, this is funny. I don't know if as much of it is supposed to be as funny as it ended up being.
I don't know.
You know, clearly, like, you know, him continually hitting Jeff and yelling, delete, delete, or the dilapidated boat thing, or the cheesy one-liners.
Look at this. It's a marvelous xylophone.
That, the, after, he dumped them in the water or whatever, he's like, it looks like Brother Nero's been flushed or something like that. I'm like, okay, it wasn't even a toilet. Like, calm down. It was just, it was so bad. Oh, that poor referee.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. It, again, like, it's, It's almost like it needed to have, like, the Mystery Science Theater, like, you know, treatment of it. Like, there should have been guys, like, in the bottom corner, you do see the silhouette, they're, like, making fun of this. Because it seems like one of those, like I said, a cheaply produced passion project of somebody that really, like, clearly, like, really put all of their being into it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't exactly good. You know what I mean? Like, it. I don't know. We're talking in circles about this, but I don't know what else to say, you know?
I recommend seeing it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say, like, you'll like this. This is the future of wrestling.
No. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I do think.
And honestly, I did, like, in all honesty.
And here's the thing. If it hadn't had the impact that it had, it would have been a weird thing that TNA did. It
sure.
Away
swept on the rug, just on a long list of other weird stuff that they've done.
But I think because it had the impact that it had, I think there can be some, like, pointing to this as, like, this could have an effect on the industry.
Sure.
For better or for worse, it could.
Right. I mean, it's the same, because, I will freely admit that I sat there for at least a minute after it was over and, like, pondered in my mind whether or not it actually was good or not. And it wasn't, but I at least it made me kind of pause and think for a second. You know, and again, like, I mentioned this movie before, like, same thing with, you know, Swiss Army Man. I'm sitting there like, okay, the movie wasn't bad, but I don't know if I like it or not. Like, and it took me, like, 2-3 days to figure it out. Like, oh yeah, I like that movie. Weird as all get out. Not gonna be everyone's cup of tea, because, like you said, it's got a very narrow audience.
Yeah.
You know, and if it hits you, it hits you. If it doesn't, eh, whatever. But, like, the movie, like, I encourage people to at least watch it once.
Yeah.
You know? And just, you make up your own mind. So, yeah, no, Final Deletion, I feel like, is a must-see for anyone at least once, and just know that it's probably not going to be the monumental, you know, cornerstone of wrestling that some people are making it sound like it is, because it's not. And I don't understand those people sometimes.
I don't know. But I mean, I am interested to see, like, where they go from here.
Sure.
So, in that sense, it was successful.
Right.
Because I'm paying attention to TNA again.
On the flip side, because we're done with Final Deletion?
Yeah,
yes,
good.
Okay. I do want to recommend a match. It's already up on our Facebook page. and our Twitter. I think I've already posted there too. CWF Mid-Atlantic, you guys have heard me talk about them every once in a while. They posted a match between Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett, and it's about a 50-minute video. The match itself is, I think, 38, 40-ish minutes. Good God, what a match. Like, and I've seen a couple of their matches before against each other. Good God.
Yeah.
And again, both these guys have been on TNA. I can't remember if Trevor Lee is still their X Division champion. Probably not by now. Because it's been a while. But it's again, like, if TNA, like, really, like, put emphasis behind people like this,
mm-hmm.
they should be doing pretty good. You yeah. know? And again, maybe they still might. I don't know. But it's one of those things where, like, you guys need to be on, like, at least Ring of Honor or
mm-hmm.
or New Japan or, for my own selfish reasons, WWE.
Yeah. Because
I would love to see those guys in NXT, especially Trevor Lee. And, you know, and again, like, I was Andrew Everett all day for a while, and then just Trevor Lee's just kind of coming to, like, he found a new gear this last year or so.
Because
mm-hmm. he had that, like, that 90-minute match.
Right.
That I talked about earlier. But yeah, everyone should go check that out. I guess it's going to be my recommended video of the week or something, or until I decide to forget about that whole segment and never recommend another video again.
All right.
So yeah, that's make me happy.
anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays and all appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or write a review. Those kind of things really help out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Like you said, the match that he was talking about, there's yep. a link to that on our Facebook page.
Yep.
Just kind of see what other things we're working on.
That's correct.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.